We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Every single person in this room, God has a specific plan for you. God doesn't just anoint his favorites to go out and do something special and then just want the rest of the world to watch and cheer them on. God has a specific plan for your life, something that he wants you to do, something that only you can do. You'll be able to reach people that I won't be able to reach. And I really believe that there are three main areas that you'll be used in. Can be used in. There might be more. But in general, I think that there's three principal ones. One would be government. One would be business. And one would be ministry. And you can say, well, there's other areas. Sure, there. But in general, I would say that all things lead back to those three things. You know, you can say you're a school teacher. Well, you're kind of working for a government or you're working for a business. You work for the health department, you work for a government, a business. Everything ties back into those three things. And as believers, no matter where you fit in either business or government, I feel that God even has something for you to do in ministry. Maybe it's not fivefold ministry, but God will use you as a member of the body of Christ to be connected, to produce a function for the body, right? Paul wrote about this saying that we're all members of the body and that every member of the body has a function, right? So the objective for you is to find out what is your function in the body and what is my function to do. If I'm not called into fivefold ministry, whether in business, you're either working for somebody's business or you're working for the government, but God will give you a specific vision for your life, and then the goal is for you to create impact. Impact. To impact people's lives. To impact the people that are around you in the workplace, at home, at the grocery store, wherever you go. And if you don't have vision, it makes it very difficult to create impact. Because vision is what gives you your purpose. And if you don't have a purpose, you're not going to impact somebody else's life. You might get other people to come around you that as well don't have any purpose. And you can all go to do meaningless things. But in the end, when you go on from this earth, you won't be remembered. I believe that every single person in this room should be remembered by the impact that they have, by the impact that you leave on society, by the impact that you leave on those around you. That nobody's called just to exist, that nobody's called to just go to work, get a paycheck, go home, pay the bills, make dinner, eat food, feed the dogs, go to sleep, and do it again the next day. No, God has something much bigger than that for you. And it all comes from vision. And I said this last week, vision brings clarity of purpose. Clarity of purpose brings impact. Impact brings finances. And finances bring bigger impact. You know, when you start impacting people's lives, no matter how you do it, when you create enough impact, people will start paying you. People will pay people that just are, that have good opinions, they'll pay them to come share their opinions. If your opinions are good enough. If you have the facts, if you have wisdom and understanding, if you have a trade that you're in, the more value that you create in that trade, the more people will be willing to pay you for it. Because you're creating a bigger impact. The greater your impact, the greater the amount of finances that come in. And then when you get more finances, you start realizing I can create bigger impact because now I can pay people to help me create more impact with what I'm doing. I can pay companies to put my voice out there even louder. I can pay companies to advertise my products even more. So the more finances that come in, you create bigger impact. And the goal for me is to create the biggest impact for eternity as possible. And I know that's with you as well, that you're here today because you want God to come and touch you and use you so that you can impact this generation. Whether you're in the marketplace, whether you're in a business, whether you're at home with your children, whether you're involved in a government, whatever it is, you're there because you want to create impact. And if you don't have that desire, you need to get vision. And I'm going to pray for people today. If you need vision, if you have vision but you feel like you're floundering and you don't know how to get to there, God will come and He will touch you. You see, God is where you get vision from. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, in those days I will pour out my spirit on my men servants and on my maid servants. My young men will see visions and my old men will dream dreams. You will have vision. And look, you determine if you're old or young, really. You know, I know people that are 50 years old, and they're really old. And I know people that are 75 years old, and they're really young. So you really determine if you're young or old, not your age. So you can decide if you want a vision or if you want a dream, if you ask me. You know, vision is generally given when you're awake. Dreams are when you're sleeping. So if you want to be just snoozing, no, I'm just making a joke. Every destiny emerges on the platform of vision. Every destiny emerges on the platform of vision. And life is mere existence until you have a vision for your life. You're just existing. And I'll give you an example of that here in a moment. But you just exist. You're just passing time. You're just collecting the paycheck. You're just going through time without making an impact until you have vision. I want to show you how really life is a journey. And even if you have a vision, you have a goal that you're working towards, it's generally not a straight path to get there. The road seems to, you might feel like I'm heading directly for it, and then something happens and there's a turn in the road, and life goes this way and that way. But eventually, your life should be turning to a certain point to get to a specific place. And we see this in the life of Paul, and I want to go through some of really just the history of Paul's life so that you can see that God had given him a specific vision, but life took him through quite a bit of journey to get to be able to where God could finally use him in the area that he wanted to. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is where Paul, who is then known as Saul, he has a vision of Jesus. A bright light shines round about him and he falls down and he has this encounter with Jesus. And even though he was talking here to Ananias in verse 15, we see that God had a specific plan, a purpose, a vision for Saul's life. Read verse 15 with me. But the Lord said to him, "For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." So would you say that's a specific thing that God has given him to do? Right? He has a purpose, he has a vision. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. So we know right off the bat, this is from Saul's conversion, from the day that Paul got saved. Actually, this is a couple days after when Ananias was going to pray for him. But we know from the very beginning that God had given him a specific purpose to go reach the Gentiles, to come before kings, and to reach the children of Israel. Okay, so he has this purpose, this mission from the very beginning. And then immediately, if you look in verse 20, immediately Saul begins to preach the gospel. Immediately he starts towards that purpose, right? His purpose is to go out and share the gospel with basically everybody. If you think about it, Gentiles, the children of Israel, kings, I don't know anybody who wouldn't fit into those categories, right? You're either a Jew or a Gentile. You have to be one or the other. To go preach to everybody. And immediately, Paul begins to work towards that. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Immediately, he starts preaching in Damascus. So it looks like he's not wasting any time to fulfill God's plan on his life. Now, if you just read through the book of Acts only about the life of Paul, you would think that this is the case, that Paul gets saved and then instantly jumps into full-time ministry, and now he's fulfilling the plan and the purpose that God has for him, which, if you know the Bible, which I believe most everyone here does, you know that Paul eventually became a missionary, right? So we know that his end goal is becoming really an apostle who traveled around the world to establish the Gospels, to establish churches. He would go and he would be in a city for a year or 2 years or a week, and he would establish a work of God in that city. He would get people saved and he would start churches. He was a missionary, really an apostle. And on a side note, that's what missionaries are. They should be apostles, people going into places that need the gospel preached to them because they haven't had it preached before, and they established a work of God. They're not people going to paint barns, right? They're not people going to dig wells. Look, all that stuff, painting barns, fixing roofs, digging wells, that's fine as long as you're using it to preach the gospel. Hey, I'm going to build a well here so that everybody will come and get water, and then I can preach the gospel to them. But just coming up with a place to dig a well so that you can help humanity isn't getting anybody saved. Great, now they're going to hell less thirsty than they were. But they'll still go to hell unless they hear the gospel preached, amen? So don't give your money to, quote, missionaries that aren't doing any preaching. If you talk to a missionary, ask them, how many people have you gotten saved? How many churches have you started? Because that's what a missionary is supposed to do. They're really supposed to be an apostle, all right? Side note. Okay, so you read through the book of Acts and you think, man, Paul's wasting no time. He goes right into it. So let's read the verses 20 through 26 in Acts chapter 9. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is it not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwell in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates night and day to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. Now here, look, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. So you're reading through this, and you think that Paul starts preaching in Damascus, and then right after that doesn't go very well. They let him down in a basket, and he goes to Jerusalem, right? If you just read this chapter, that's the impression that you would get. But in actuality, it was 3 years from the encounter that he had with Jesus on the road to Damascus to the time that he first went to Jerusalem. Let's just turn over to Galatians chapter 1 real quick. I know sometimes the history of it all can be kind of boring, but you'll see here how, by the time I'm finished, how this will connect to vision. Galatians chapter 1, let's look at verses 15 through 20. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, this is Paul writing, who called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then look at verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none other except except James, the Lord's brother. So we see here that Paul didn't start preaching in Damascus, and then when things didn't go according to plan there, like he get kicked out because he's preaching, he goes straight to Jerusalem. No, he actually went out into Arabia, and he's there, and then he comes back to Damascus, and then he goes back to Jerusalem. And it says it was 3 years that he was there. 3 years. 3 years of his life. You know, our church is just coming up on 3 years, or we just passed 3 years as a church. So for this whole time, it would have been that he had been out in Arabia. Does anybody know what Paul was doing in Arabia? No, me neither, because it doesn't say. So he might have been preaching, he might have been studying, he might have been praying. We really have no idea. It could have just been preparation time for getting him ready to do what God was actually calling him to do, because he had preached in Damascus, but it doesn't really seem like here he's fulfilling his purpose, because God said that I'm going to take him to kings, he's going to preach to the Gentiles, and he's going to preach to the children of Israel. He's going to go all around the world. So then he travels to Jerusalem, and after 3 years, and he's there 15 days with Peter. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. Keep your finger in Galatians. Acts chapter 9, let's look at 27 through 30. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out that they brought him to, when they had found out, they brought him to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. So here in verse 30, we find out where he goes next. He goes from Jerusalem to Tarsus. And again, just reading Acts chapter 9, you would think that Paul, he starts preaching in Damascus. He goes to Jerusalem, preaches there, and then he goes to Tarsus. And then the next time that he's mentioned is in Acts chapter 11, and that's when he goes out to start his missionary journey and goes out to preach the world. So just reading Acts chapter 9 and the book of Acts, you think, wow, this guy, he's getting right started. But as I said, sometimes God gives you a vision, he gives you a purpose, and life has a winding road of getting to where you're actually called to go. And we're going to see that's really what happened here. So he goes to Tarsus. Does anyone know how long he was in Tarsus? He was there for a minimum of 8 years, somewhere between 8 and 14 years. Does anybody know what Paul did in Tarsus? Huh? But what scripture do you have for that? Because it's okay, that's a good guess. He probably was. But in scripture, we don't know that. In scripture, it doesn't say what he was doing in Tarsus. So you're telling me that for 14 years and 3 years, we have no idea what he was doing. Let me ask you, has anyone ever read in the Bible the book of Tarsus? Has anyone ever read the book of Damascus? Has anyone ever read the book of Arabia? Right? But later on, when Paul's traveling places, we're reading about all those places that he was going to. Right? We read about Corinthians, about Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. We read about all these places that he went, right? But for 17 years of his life, we don't read anything that he did, other than that he preached in Damascus, and then he went to Arabia. And then he went to Jerusalem, and he was hanging out with Peter for 15 days. For 17 years of his life, that's what we know of him. And this is Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This is Paul, who traveled around the world, who was called to preach to the Gentiles, called to preach to kings, and called to preach to the children of Israel. So I'm telling you that when you receive a vision, and you receive a call, and you receive a mission from God to do something, it doesn't always happen exactly the way we want and in the time frame that we want. Sometimes the road will wind this way or that way. And many times, It's a matter of starting. You see, Paul started. When he got saved, he started preaching. And then he goes out to Arabia, and then he comes back to Jerusalem, and again, he was preaching in Jerusalem. So he didn't give up. He's still preaching. He's still working on fulfilling the vision that God had given him. But I believe that the reason that we don't know what he did primarily during those years is because it wasn't anything that attributed to his purpose. Because everything that he did that fulfilled his purpose, he wrote about. When he went to Ephesians and was having revival there, he wrote all about it. Every church that he went to and he established, he would at least mention like the great things that were happening, but he didn't write about anything during that time. Even though he was called, even though God had still, from the very beginning, from the time that he got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, he was called. He was chosen to go out and do something. What does this mean for us? We shouldn't get discouraged. You know, you might have this goal, this vision, this dream of, I want to go do that. And the key is that you start working towards it and that you stay faithful to it. But if it doesn't happen tomorrow, don't give up. Paul didn't start preaching to kings until later on in his ministry. He didn't go before the governors until later on. So during that time, I believe that it was a time of preparation where Paul was, I believe that he was during those times praying, fasting, getting vision from God, getting God to come and speak to him. And that's a key to anything that you're going to do in life, whether you're in business, whether you're in ministry, or whether you want to be involved in government. But you should allow God to come and touch you and speak to you and give you a plan. Don't just think that you're going to go out and do everything on your own and become successful. The difference between ambition and vision is that ambition comes from me. Vision comes from God. And though ambition can get you somewhere, it can take you far, it will never get you where vision can take you. You see, vision comes specifically when God gives you a plan, when God says, this is your purpose. This is what you're supposed to go do in life. This is who I've called you to be. That's vision. And vision doesn't go away. Ambition is just a drive. It's the human effort to get to what you want to accomplish. And there's people that are successful based on ambition, but they work themselves into the ground. When you have vision, you can relax because you know that God's in control. It doesn't mean that you don't work hard. It doesn't mean that you don't put all your effort into it, but it means that you know that God has called me to do this. So if God's the one who called me, God's the one who's going to get me there. If God called me to do it, he's the one that's going to pay the bill. I don't have to stress over how I'm going to get the finances to accomplish the vision that God's given me. I just need to know that God gave it to me. And then he's going to be the one to pay for it. He's going to be the one to help get me there. He's going to be the one that brings the help that I need to get there. The people around me in my life to get me to fulfill the vision that God's given me. Amen? So after 17 years of being saved, Paul goes on his first missionary journey. Think about that. 17 years of being saved after he had that encounter on the Damascus Road. Now, I like to preach it myself that you have this encounter with God like Paul had, you have this radical encounter, and then instantly you turn into like this Holy Ghost just dominating force, which I believe you will, because that's who Paul became. But it doesn't mean that tomorrow you're instantly going to have that. You see, life is a journey. Actually, let's look at what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. This is after Paul's already on his missions journey. He's already fulfilling he's now stepping into the purpose and the vision that God really had for him. And this is what he writes. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He presses on towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Not that I've already attained. This is him Paul, you've already done so much. You've already gone out and had miracles, and your ministry is established, and you're traveling around the world preaching, and you're having revival, and everything looks like success in ministry. And yet he says, not that I have attained. Not that I have attained. Because he's still working on perfecting and coming into the vision, completing the plans and the purposes that God had given him. So for 17 years, Paul was really, as far as we know, a nobody. Remember what I said about vision determines your should determine your associations and your friendships? Notice who it was that really helped bring him into the fulfillment of his vision. When Paul went to Jerusalem, who was it that brought him to the disciples? Who? Barnabas. Barnabas, when everybody else was terrified of him, Barnabas wasn't. He made a friendship with Barnabas. He made this association with Barnabas. That was a Holy Ghost-inspired relationship. And those are the kinds of relationships you need. Because when Barnabas later was sent to Antioch to see how the church was going because of the persecution that happened in Jerusalem, everyone, all of these believers spread out preaching the gospel everywhere they went, and there was a church started in Antioch. So the disciples sent Barnabas to go and check there. And it says that Barnabas was there preaching, and while he was there, he went to seek out Saul in Tarsus. The relationships that you form should be ones that will direct you and help bring you to fulfill the vision and the purpose in your life. Not relationships that are just going to encourage you to hang out in Tarsus for the rest of your life. Oh, Paul, notice you got a house on the beach. This is great. You know, ministry's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, just kick back and relax. Missionary, this is the life. Go around collecting donations and then sitting on a beach on the Mediterranean. Believe it or not, but there's missionaries today doing that. But that's not what happened. Barnabas comes and he takes him from where he was, which, as I said, for at least 8 years, up to 14 years, we don't know what he was doing there. And he takes him to Antioch, which is where he starts. It says that they preached there for a year. And then the Lord spoke to them from a prophet, Agabus, who came to there. And then they went to Jerusalem. And then they go from Jerusalem back to Antioch. And then the Lord speaks to them. And they fast and they pray. And they go out and have their first missionary journey. And boom, he's off to the races. Now he's establishing churches all around the world. And really, it was sparked because of that relationship that he had made. Make good relationships in life. When you find somebody that's doing something along the track that you want to do, because that's what Barnabas apparently wanted to do too. That's what he felt called to do, was to go and preach around the world with Paul. Find people that will link up with your vision, the purpose that you want to accomplish, that will help you get there. Amen? A lot of people surround themselves with duds, especially spiritually speaking. Let me ask you, of your friends and the people that you keep around you, are they the ones asking you questions? A lot of people have it that way, and they take that as a compliment, that all my friends, they ask me about God, and they always want to know how I keep my relationship with God so strong, and they're asking me about business, and how did I get to do this in business? You'll never grow. Who do you have in your life that you can ask questions concerning the vision that God has given you? Who is ahead of you that is able to speak in your life on a regular basis? You can't just have people around you that are asking you questions trying to get to where you got. Have people in your life that are further along than you, that you admire, that you say, I want to get where he got. I want to have what she has. I want to do what he did or she did. Because the people that you surround yourself with, that's who you're going to end up acting like. So have people that are making spiritual progress in your life that you can go up to and say, hey, I need prayer. Amen? Let's look at Abraham briefly. Genesis chapter 12. Let's read verse 1 through 4. He's still known as Abram at this point. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. For 75 years of Abram's life, he existed. For 75 years of Abram's life, he didn't have vision. From the time that Abram answered the call of God on his life, things began to happen. Life began to happen. Things began to get exciting. He leaves his father's house. He left behind everything that he knew to follow the vision that God had given. Go, and the vision wasn't very complicated. It wasn't even too much detail. It was, leave your father's house, go here, I will bless you, and I will make you blessed among all the earth, and I will bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you, and all families of the earth will be blessed. And then the Lord promises him that he will have these children and that his descendants will be as the sand of the sea. This is what the Lord is promising to him. 75 years had gone by before he receives vision from the Lord. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 21. In verse 5. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. How old was he? 100 when his son Isaac was born. How old was he when he received the vision? 75. So for 25 years, it's like he was still wondering this whole time, God, you promised me this vision. You promised, where is it? For 25 years. Trying to follow God, trying to follow the plan. Lord, you said that I'll be blessed. How am I going to be blessed? You know, and then ambition got him to create Ishmael. That's the difference right there between ambition and vision. Ambition says, I'm going to get there on my own. And he created an Ishmael from his ambition. But vision is what got him Isaac. Because when he was 99 years old and the Lord comes again to him and says, I will bless you, and all nations of the earth will be blessed because of you, he allows the Lord to use him at 99 years old. And then at 100 years old, his wife gives birth to Isaac. So for 25 years, he's on this winding path where it seems like, God, I know you've called me. I know you have this plan for me. But Lord, God, please, how am I going to get there? He must have been wondering all the time, how am I going to get to where you called me? Let's look at David. 1 Samuel chapter 16. You start living when God gives you vision. Everything for Abraham got exciting once he had vision from God and he left his father's house. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. David at this point was just anointed to be king, right? That's what we just read. He was between the years 10 and 13 years old. He's anointed to be king. So from a very young age, David had vision, right? He had purpose. He had a plan. Somehow, I'm going to become king because this prophet of God just came and anointed me to do that. Well, let's see what happens in his life. After that happened, he goes to serve King Saul as his minstrel and then continues to work for his father during that time as well, tending his father's sheep. A few years later, between the ages of 15 and 17, he kills Goliath. And because of that, Saul took notice of him, and he starts putting him in charge of stuff, and he takes a more active role in the government, helping King Saul directly. But around age 25, he's banished from King Saul's court, who had become his father-in-law. At that point, Saul was his father-in-law, and he banished him from the court and says, "Don't come back, I want nothing to do with you." And then he's hunted by Saul. Saul sends out his army, his warriors, to go out and kill David. Mind you, David is anointed to be king. Imagine how you'd feel at that point. God has this destiny for me, this plan and this purpose for me. I know I'm supposed to be accomplishing, and yet here I am being hunted by my father-in-law. 25 years after being anointed to be king, he becomes the king of Judah. And 2 years later, he becomes the king over all Israel. 25 years, 27 years until he became the king of all Israel. For 27 years, it must have felt like God had given me this purpose, and yet here I am running for my life. To me, this is an encouragement to me to know that, you notice with Abraham, with David, with Paul, all of them were working towards the vision that God had given them. None of them gave up. None of them were just like sitting idly by. They were doing something. They were working towards it. They were taking steps in the direction that God had given to them. So if you want to know, how do I get started on this vision that God has given me? Take a step. Maybe for you, it's God, please give me a vision. Where do you get the vision? The vision comes from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Remember Acts chapter 2, verse 17, that God will give visions. God will give you vision. He will give you purpose. It's not age dependent. God wants you to do something in life. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So what caused Abraham, David, Paul not to give up? Vision. That's why they didn't give up. Because they were determined. They had a sense of purpose. They had something that they knew that they were supposed to do in life, and they weren't going to give up until they accomplished that or until they died trying. And that's how we have to be. We have to be so determined that, yes, this is my purpose in life. This is what God's called me to do. I don't care what anybody else tells me. I don't care what my boss says. I don't care what my bank says. I don't care what my doctor says. My doctor says I'm sick. I can't be. I can't have a terminal illness because then I won't fulfill the vision that God gave me for my life. And God is not a liar. So if God's not the liar, then that means that report of health against you has to be a lie. When you have vision, nothing can stop you. Nothing. Because you know that God is the one that gave you that. That's why it's so important to get into the Spirit of God and say, God, what is your vision for me? And once He gives you that, you start making steps towards it. And then as you're making steps, you might take a turn here for a little while and it seems like, God, I thought we were doing this. And meanwhile, He was preparing you. He was preparing you to fulfill, to finally step into the final purpose that God's given you. One of my favorite ministers is Brother Kenneth Hagin. He went home to be with the Lord some years ago. Phenomenal ministry. And when he started out in ministry, he started out as a pastor because he felt the call to the ministry. He felt that he was to start preaching. So at that time, he just felt, well, I'm going to start somewhere, so I'm going to take a church and start preaching there. So he starts just helping out Wednesday nights at the local church that he attended and would preach to people Wednesday nights. Then he gets promoted and eventually becomes the pastor of the church. And for 13 years, he pastored churches. And he did really well. And in a lot of these churches, they had revival, miracles were happening, people were getting saved. It looked phenomenal. But he became discontent because he said it felt like he was in the shower with his socks on. I haven't tried that, but I can imagine what that'd feel like. It wouldn't feel right, you know? You go to scrub your feet and it doesn't really feel like, you know. Anyway. So he's doing really well in ministry, but he feels like, man, I just feel like this discontentment, like there's something else, that I'm not fulfilling the purpose, even though things are going great. For 13 years, he was doing that. And so what does he do? He's like, well, the only other option is to be an evangelist. That's the way it was at that time. So he goes out on the field. That's what they called it, doing field ministry. He was out traveling, and he would have these evangelistic-style services where his sole purpose was to preach in churches in order to get people saved. And he did that for a year until he was totally totally broke, and he had no money. And the last church that he had just left, he was doing really well, making a lot of money. He drove the best car he ever had, had the best suit he had ever had. Food was taken care of from the church. Things were going awesome. And then he feels like, God, I knew that you were calling me to do something different, so I'm doing the only thing that I know to do, and I'm evangelizing, and I'm failing. Because he said that he had never actually prayed about what God wanted him to do specifically. He just thought evangelism was the only other option. But what God had really called him to do was to go into the ministry of the prophet and teacher. And so what he did was, he prays and he says, God, nobody's doing this. The Lord spoke to him about, he says, start teaching. And he's like, no one's teaching. The Lord says, go on radio and start teaching. He's like, nobody's going on radio to teach. They were all just doing evangelistic style services. Preach really loud, spit cotton everywhere, and tell people that they need to get saved. That's the only thing that they were doing back then. It was either that or you were a pastor. And so he had a totally different style of ministry, which is where he would teach, and then he would pray for people and see people get healed, see people get delivered, give people a word from God. He operated in many of the gifts of the Spirit. And nobody was really doing that back then. So he prayed after a year of failing as an evangelist, and he says, all right, God, this is clearly not what I'm supposed to be doing. What is it? And that's when God gave him that word to go out and to travel and to be in this prophetic and teaching ministry. The point is that then his ministry blew up. His ministry became so huge. Like now, I mean, like, You can look him up on YouTube, and all of his videos have like hundreds of thousands of views, and everybody around America, many people know of his ministry, and he's had a profound impact. My pastor, Pastor Rodney, actually studied Kenneth Hagin's ministry while he was in Africa. Many people that you know today in ministry that have major ministries have studied from his ministry, and that happened because he found out what it was specifically that God called him to do. But he didn't get there on day one. It actually was 14 years after he got started. But he started somewhere. And he said, God, I'm going to start as a pastor and use me here. And then as he did that, he felt like it was time to change. But then the Lord finally directed him. You have to start somewhere. Many people have a vision, they have a passion, they have something on the inside of them that they really desire to accomplish, and they just feel like, I don't know how I'm going to get there. Start somewhere. Take a step of faith today. Don't just always talk about it as being something great that you want to do in the future. Make it a part of your life today. You know, speaking of Pastor Rodney, he starts ministry in South Africa. And he starts out by just taking any engagement that he could get. He'd preach to like 10, 12 people, 5 people, and he'd do whatever he can. Eventually, he ends up starting a church out in the middle of nowhere, hours from society, and starts this small church and ends up pastoring it for 2 years. Then he starts traveling. And he's traveling around having meetings. And things are actually start going pretty well for him. And at some point during that time, he had actually taken his schedule had cleared up, and the only thing that he had was an invitation from a Bible school to come teach in their Bible school. So he came and he taught there for several weeks. And it was during that time of being in this Bible school teaching for several weeks that he wrote down all these sermon notes, the very same sermons that he's preached for like 20, 30, 40 years, however many years it's been that he's been preaching. If you listen to Pastor Rodney preach on the subject of the anointing, it was notes that he had come up with when he was teaching in South Africa. That's what he told me. And so then, during this whole time, his plan, his burden, his heart was to preach in America. You know, even though he's doing all of this stuff in South Africa, he'd always felt like, I'm going to go to America and preach. And finally, he takes the step. I'm going to go to America, and he goes. He goes to America, and what does he do? He starts traveling and preaching. And then what does he do? He starts a church. And then what does he do? He starts a Bible school. Everything that he did in Africa was like preparation for what God had really called him to do. But I don't think Pastor Rodney would have gotten here today and had the success that he had if he was just waiting still in Africa for somebody to call from America to invite him to come preach. You got to start. You got to start somewhere. You got to figure out, God, what do you want me to do? What is the burning passion? What is the burning desire on the inside of me to do? And when it's all about helping other people, No matter what realm of, what sphere of influence it is, business, government, ministry, whatever it is, when it's about helping people, when it's unselfish, when it's just, I want to help people, I want to create something that can help, I want to do something for people that they'll really appreciate, I want to change the government for the better. When you have a vision that can help people, God will get behind it. After all, he's the one that gave it to you. He's the one that's going to support you. He'll be the number one fan that's making you have it happen. He's the one that's bringing it to pass. But if you're just drifting, and it's so, if you're drifting, just realize what you need to do. I need to get in the presence of God and get a vision. I need to get purpose. God, what is it that you want me to do specifically? What is it that you've called me to do? You know, you can come up with many ideas on your own of just stuff that you can possibly do. But when you get the download from heaven, when you get God to give you one word and say, this is what you're to do, no matter what tries to come to stop you. Because if you have a vision, that vision will be tested. It will be tried. God won't approve. God won't approve of you until he proves you. You have to prove to him. You have to prove to him that the vision that he gives you, that you're going to fight for. That it's not just like, yeah, I tried. You wanted me to go do this, and now I'm just going to give up. Because some trials, situations, persecutions, whatever is going to come, and it's going to try and stop you. Something will try to stop you, and you have to be willing to say, I'm going to fight for it.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.